Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
It is Monday, November 18th, gigantic pop back on a Monday night. Mr. Matt Morgan and I myself am Raj Geary. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. I just got reelected unopposed for the first time. And this will be my upcoming third term. My first two terms, I always had an opponent. So this is fantastic to get a reelection unopposed. Feeling very good, brother, and feeling even better serving my community for what will be more than a decade.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome. That's amazing. And the swearing-in ceremony, when was that?
Oh, thank you. We had it this past week. I had my family fly in from Connecticut, Hawaii, my wife's family. And yeah, it was great. Again, that's the biggest honor of all time.
Yeah. Wow, well, that's amazing. It's insane to me that the election.
Lay down.
It's amazing to me that the election was just last week. Doesn't it feel like that was?
My dog wants to jump up on my lap and not pay attention to me. I'm sorry.
But it's crazy to me that the election was just a little over a week ago. It feels like it's been a month. It's just so much has happened.
Oh my God, with the shenanigans and tomfoolery that we've witnessed since then. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and just with the Tyson fight, and it's just been a nutty week. Why don't we get to that first? It's past Friday night. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, arguably the biggest boxing, most watched boxing event of all time, I don't see, like, Ollie Frazier. I don't see how that could have been bigger without pay-per-view and closed circuit all around the world.
So I have to ask the obvious question, right? Because, yeah. Raj, how old are you? I'm 40. How old are you?
I'm 49. I'm clinging on to my 40s.
Okay. So when we were kids, and I can remember it like yesterday, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, when Mike Tyson was going to fight, it's all we talked about on the recess playgrounds. Like, we all could not wait to watch Iron Mike fight, right? It was the biggest thing. Everybody in the country was talking about it. And the fact that if we're talking about pay-per-view buy rates and draw, whatever you want to call it, that this, and I'm not hating, I swear to God, I'm not hating, but the fact that Jake Paul versus Tyson somehow outdrew the rest of these is insanity to me. I don't buy it. There's a lie being told here somewhere. I refuse to buy it. Call me an old head. I don't give a crap. No way. Spinks, bro. Remember when Michael Spinks was to challenge Tyson back when we were kids? Yeah. It was the biggest fight ever.
And but it was on pay-per-view.
They all bought the fight. We all did.
So I remember Michael Spinks, because where we live, we didn't get pay-per-view. So my dad and I, we were listening to ESPN doing their like play-by-play. Fight started. I remember when the analyst was like, "Well, this is going to be a fight. You know, this is going to be Tyson's toughest fight to date. He's not going to walk all over this guy." And then the other guy interrupts. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. The fight's over. Mike Tyson, a knockout, 91 seconds."
Yes, it was super fast, but that was freaking Iron Mike Tyson in his prime.
Yeah.
And I still will argue we'll never see a heavyweight champion like him ever. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Kid Dynamite, no flipping way. I'm not saying that as an old head. I'm just saying that because it entrenched every class I was in. It entrenched recess. It entrenched gym class. It entrenched, like I said, social studies, math. Every class I was in, every kid was talking about, oh my God, Morgan, you get the fight this weekend? And everybody in the world was talking about it. So when I see somehow this fight somehow eclipse those numbers, like, come on, dude. Yeah. Come on.
Well, it's the Netflix factor, you know.
I get it. It's still frustrating because it wasn't.
I know.
It wasn't as serious, and it sucked because at one component, I wanted Tyson to win without question. We all did, Kid Dynamite fans, right? Yeah. But at the same time, we knew he wasn't going to. That must happen. If I'm being honest, for payday purposes, that Tyson got a great payday out of it because we all love Tyson. All of us do. Come on, be real.
Yeah, I mean, they say before the fight, his net worth was only $10 million. And I'm saying only $10 million because this guy made probably, what, $500 million in his life?
Yes.
So he, you know, went from $10 million to $30 million, tripled his net worth in one night. You know, I think that was the thing with this fight. The reality was it was a 50-year-old legend who hasn't really been great in 35 years.
58, Raj.
And since Buster Douglas, he's never been that killer again. Yeah.
10 years. So if you say Matt Morgan, come back to wrestling in 10 years from now, I'd say go bleep yourself. No way.
And then he's fighting a below average fighter. So that was the reality. I think all of us had that hope. Tyson would get that one flurry in, that old 1987 Tyson. We'd see him back at least in little spurts.
Yes,
and then we got what we got was reality. I know some people were like, true. Is it fixed? Was it fixed? It's like, if it was fixed, you would have done a better job fixing it than that.
And to be fair, you saw him like stumbling to get to the ring with a knee brace on. And I think Paul, like, this is where both Paul's brothers get so much heat to take advantage of folks that like are well past their prime. And at the same time, if I'm a Paul brother and I get a chance to get Mike Tyson in the ring, like, I couldn't resist that either, right? No matter how old he is, because he's such a golden legend.
Yeah.
So it's a tough call to make, really tough call to make, Raj.
Yeah. It was a super successful, but, you know, a lot of people had problems streaming. For me, the stream worked almost perfectly. There was like one or two minutes.
Yeah. Me too.
So it's funny. I was like pissing people off because I was like, dude, I'm not having any issues. And all these, zero. You know, there were a lot of people that did.
No, it came in perfect. I had a party watching it. Like, thank God it came in clear.
Yeah. And they did plug Raw going to Netflix January 6th.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. And they just announced officially that it's going to be at the Intuit Dome in Los Angeles. They advertised John Cena, Bianca Belair, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. So all the top SmackDown stars are going to be there. So it'll be a huge event.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would have been smarter? What is the gimmick dome in Vegas that's brand new?
Not the one where they did WrestleMania.
Well, no. Or where they're doing WrestleMania. Way newer than that. It's this whole ball that you can see the advertisement on from the outside.
Oh, the Sphere.
Yes. Why did they start there?
Oh, because that place is insanely expensive to run. Even UFC, which made their biggest gate ever running that, are like, we're never doing that building again.
Okay. Because
it's like mega expensive. Like, it's impossible to make your money, or very difficult to make a profit. They make more on an average C UFC pay-per-view profit-wise than they do with the Sphere. And so
they can't fit a wrestling audience in there, you're saying?
They could. They just couldn't make the money off of it. Because UFC prices are like way higher than WWE. And they, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
With these bootleg? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's pretty crazy. We got a super chat. Sarith Mohanty. And don't worry, I'll get to it once we get to Raw. Also, this past weekend, John Jones, a dominant performance for Stipe Miocic. Yes, John Jones, arguably right now, who knows where Conor McGregor's at? Arguably the biggest star that UFC has, active star that looks like he has another fight in.
Okay, so people are getting pissy that he's not automatically granting his next fight too. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? My apologies to folks.
I know. Same here. He's really the interim heavyweight champion.
And he's really good.
Yeah.
6'5". He's an inch taller. And he's
like Tom Aspinall.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes. Yeah.
And Tom did the best he could as the backup fighter for that fight to try to, like, you know, gas everybody up to wanting to see him fight, you know, John Jones if John Jones wins. But if you're being a businessman and thinking about it and you're John Jones, like, as a business person, not mm-hmm. as a fighter, as a business person, mm-hmm. this guy's been put up against everybody already. Everybody, for crepe sakes. So I don't blame him saying, and he was honest in his review. He's like, look, do I want to fight up-and-comers that could potentially knock my ass out and put me down? No, that would be right. stupid of me. I tell you what, if that person can make me more money mm-hmm. in that fight, I'm game. And Dana's got to come to the table with money. That's mm-hmm. the right thing to say. It is.
Right, yeah.
It absolutely is. So yeah. People keep crapping on me. Oh, he's ducking. He's ducking Tom. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't agree with that. I think this guy's making business decisions that can set his family up for generational wealth if they don't have it already.
Yeah. And it seemed like afterwards he said he might fight who Dana wants him to next. So it seems like he's opening himself up now to fight Aspinall next. So, you know,
if that fight happens, Aspinall is a very lucky man, because it doesn't have to happen. And in case you can't tell, UFC, in the right way, if I'm being honest, is done by who will draw the most money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I keep trying to. Nobody gives a crap what I say in comment sections on YouTube. I'm sure they don't. They don't have a freaking clue who I am, especially MMA circles. But I keep trying to say, Tom, build your name up, bro. Do something crazy. Do whatever you got to do to draw and build your name up so you're considered a quote unquote draw by yourself.
Yeah.
Because that will make them absolutely signify that fight. And while Dana White talked a great game in the press conference leading up to John Jones' past fight mm-hmm. of saying, whoever wins this is going to go against Tom Aspinall. Yeah, no, you have to have your fighters, Dana, agree with that and mm-hmm. sign a dotted line against him.
Yeah, so, we've seen too many fights fall through the cracks because.
Of course we have. Look no further than Conor. That UFC is, and I agree with UFC on this, by the way. Mm-hmm. When you see, like, what's his name? Mike Chandler? What's the dude's name?
Mike Chandler.
Sorry, Mike Chandler, who got his ass whipped in the last UFC. Talking smack. Oh, he's wanting to fight me. Conor's wanting to fight me. No, dude. It's called a business deal. UFC is intelligent enough to go, we have our re-ups to make with networks, ESPN included. And if we can say we have two, not one, but two Conor McGregor fights guaranteed in our upcoming deal.
Yeah,
it's smart business. And that's why these punch drunk idiots have to learn. That's why pro wrestlers, I will always argue, are way smarter than boxers and MMA fighters. I'll take it to my grave, because we get the business aspect of everything that gets decided with cable contracts, pay-per-view contracts, etc.
Yeah, and McGregor and Chandler were scheduled to fight, and then Conor said he had a toe injury.
Let me ask you a question, Raj. Yeah. Raj, do you want to even see that now at this point?
I don't know. There's
not want to see it, because he got worked. He did a great job fighting from underneath, hulking up in the fifth round, but it wasn't enough. Sorry, thanks for playing, Chandler.
Yeah, I just think, and clearly we're both casual MMA fans. I used to be hardcore.
Very casual, back in the day.
You're right. I do think it makes all the sense in the world to have that McGregor, selling point with the next contract negotiations for the next.
Who is the biggest draw that's going to meet McGregor? I agree with that, but not Chandler. After he just lost. This dude lost and is calling out Conor McGregor? What?
Yeah. Yeah, bro, everyone wants that payday.
Can I give you an example? To our wrestling folks that are here to watch us talk about wrestling, God forbid. This would be like literally Hulk Hogan not beating the Iron Sheik, by the way. Iron Sheik choking the shit out of Hulk Hogan with his camel clutch, tapping his ass out. There is no Hulkamania. And Hulk saying 2 days later, no, sorry, that same event later, after he gets choked out to the camel clutch, hey, Bob Backlund, you're the champion. I want you next. Get the hell out of here. No. No, you lost, jobber.
All right, moving on to wrestling. Rod and Ike, run through it pretty quick. This tonight was a tape show. They taped it last week. This was one of those rare times it was taped. Well, you know back that. In the day when I was running Wrestling Inc., I had to keep track of all the spoilers, what happens, and now I didn't. So I went into tonight's show. I had heard some of the stuff, but I'd already forgotten with how busy the last week had been. So I went into the show like not really knowing what happened. So it was pretty cool.
Raj, I went in live myself. I swear to God. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So overall, I thought it was an entertaining show. I do feel like Raw has been, you know, every year this time, it's kind of a little slower going to Survivor Series. Every year, before Rumble Mania season, it's a little slower. Last year was a little different because Punk came back at Survivor Series. This year, there's no Punk right now. There's no Drew. You know, they've have half their top stars are not on right now on Raw. So it's been a little slower, but I still thought a good show for tonight.
I agree. Every word you just said, I agree.
Yeah, and so to start off, to kind of set tonight's show up, so originally the Bloodline and the OG Bloodline and the new Bloodline, it looked like it was going to be 4-on-4, but it's not. It's going to be 5-on-5. And then on SmackDown this last Friday night, it was Bronson Reed that came out and was the fifth member of the heel Bloodline.
Hell to the freaking yeah. So let me just say this, because I have a neighbor who's a 12-year-old boy. His name is Zayden next door. He's my best gauge of what a mainstream WWE fan is thinking, right, as a kid. He goes, well, he's not a proper fit because he's Australian, isn't he? I go, I don't care. I go, if you never heard that guy talk and you look at the screenshot of him in that photo with the new Bloodline, tell me he doesn't fit in physically. He had no argument. I agree with that because he's a monster. They're trying to build him. And I love any time they're trying to build a monster. I said it on Twitter. I'm all for this. Any opportunity I see a fellow monster like myself get built, I'm usually a huge mark for it. I am. And it's lost art of pro wrestling. We see these sideshow midget piss ants that somehow become huge stars that can't get on roller coaster rides in most parks, but I'll digress. This guy's a monster, and I love seeing them treat him like a monster.
Yeah, and as Ricky Sinclair is pointing out, Bronson Reed does have Samoan blood. So
let's go, Ricky Sinclair, for telling me that. That just makes my argument even better. Yes.
So Raw opened up with Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez. This is good. She welcomed Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, Candice LeRae, and then that led to Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi coming out.
Avengers.
And what's that?
Avengers.
Yeah. And before the end of it, they, you know, it was 5-on-4. They called out Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. The Avengers just got Michael Jordan somehow. Like that's what happened tonight. The Avengers, who were going to whip their ass 4-on-5, somehow got Michael Jordan Game 7 versus the Utah Jazz. And it was awesome in Rhea Ripley. It was a great introduction for her. Came out like a badass with her quote-unquote Undertaker orbital socket mask on, right? And it was a great call to history at the same time. A great call to what a badass she is fighting through it. Oh my God, I love this segment. I loved every bit of it. If I have one quip, it's that I did not like that when they first started it, that they crapped on, I'm sorry, because this is horrible of me, but what's the heater for Morgan again?
Raquel Rodriguez.
Okay. I did not like that they crapped on her specifically in the beginning. I know that was what she was trying to do for all of them, not just her. But when the girl's an inch or two taller than you, looking down on you saying that, I don't agree with it. And they should have protected her specifically. They should have had a different line for her to say for her specifically. As a small little thing, as a fellow big man wrestler, that I think is important to protect. But that's just me.
Yeah. I saw some people that were saying that this seemed very forced. This kind of reminded me of the old Survivor Series back in the day, where you had your main feud that, you know, with the captains, and then the rest was kind of just filled the team, but it was really that main feud. And really it's Rhea and Liv is the top feud. And then you got Jay 100%. And Bianca, you know, so,
so you got that star power. Give it to you. You're 100%. If we can remember this, I might be 100% accurate here, Raj, but it's our childhood, the same childhood you were in, I was in. So it was, let's pretend it's Hulk Hogan. It's Mr. Wonderful when you're still a babyface at the time. It's your Don Morocco somehow. They're trying to magic.
It's like Coco Beware or something.
It's Morocco. They're pushing babyface out of left field, which makes no sense. And let's say pretend the British Bulldogs, right? And you get your tag team involvement in there, your intercontinental involvement in there somewhere. And you're crossing every T and dotting every I. And that's what they're doing with the women's division in this one specifically, I thought. I just didn't like her talking shit to a girl that was like 3 inches taller than her. I did not like that as a former heater myself.
So Rhea Ripley, I came out, I mean, she came back way sooner than I expected. She was wearing a protective face mask.
Yes.
So yeah, she has gotten to become such, I mean, she was already a big star starting this year out, but she's even that much bigger now. So
way bigger.
Exploded.
Way bigger. I agree.
They announced Raw at the Intuit Dome for the Netflix debut. And then we had the mixed tag Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega defeated Chad Gable and Ivy Nile. Crowd was happy. Rey got the win.
Can you guys see this? Can you see my hand? That's what I think of it. I don't care.
For people listening, I'll just skip it. Afterwards, the Creed brothers helped Chad Gable to his feet. They pushed him away, and Gable slapped Julius Creed twice to motivate him. And I don't know, man. This seems like a weaker version of Gable when he was with Otis and Maxine and
Tozawa. Yes, hell yes, way weaker.
Yeah.
Boring. I didn't care about any of it. No offense.
Yeah, American Made. They're just charisma wise. I mean, they could do some incredible feats of strength, but charisma wise,
you have to put him with Gable. You got to put him with Gable, and Gable be a dick about it because he's the best at that.
I feel like they missed out on not making Gable Intercontinental Champion. That was one case, you know. That was one case where that belt, I think, would have elevated him. Now it kind of seems.
I agree,
lower than he was before.
Yes, sir.
Finn Balor saw that Liv Morgan was stressed out, so he offered to take the wheel for Judgment Day tonight, and she accepted. They had a video promo with The Miz and Final Testament.
This was good. That was good. I loved every minute of this one.
This is probably the most interesting stuff that The Miz has done in a long time.
Could we be honest, though? Let's do this better, because we got to be fair here. I'm personal friends with Karrion Kross, and I might defend him when you guys don't want to defend him. Not you, Raj, but like our fans, right? So I give him, like, you know, carte blanche and think he's going to do great. Clear, though. Without The Miz's involvement in this angle is nobody gives a flip. I'm just being honest. And Miz with his eye bleeding somehow. I still don't know how they did that. I don't. As a worker myself, I'm just trying to figure it out. Was it an accident?
It was an accident.
The business?
It was an accident.
Okay. But my point is the fact that he was smart enough to turn it into business, not oversell it like a lot of wusses would have done, shows Miz's value. Miz is so god dang underrated. He just is. I'm sorry. He can't wrestle a 5-star match. Miz is severely underrated. He's a walking, talking, living, breathing. Sorry, folks. First bout Hall of Famer waiting to happen. And he proved it again in this series. Because I don't give a flying flip about the White family at this point. I was a huge mark when they first started. I don't care anything they do moving forward. I just don't. Because WWE ruins everything that is, aka spooky. They flip it all the time. They screw it up nonstop. And the only interest I have in this angle is The Miz luring them in. I liked every bit of that.
That's speaking of the devil. That brings us to our super chat. John Gone the Third with the $5 super chat saying,
"Don't protect Raj. He loves supernatural stuff. Don't protect him, John."
Raj, I know you don't like the supernatural stuff, but what's your opinion on Bo Dallas and the Wyatt Six so far? I agree with you, Matt. I feel like it's really pitter pattered out. Started off hot, and they just didn't have a real plan for it.
I don't think they had another plan. I think that it's an impossible gimmick. It just is, dude, to try to get over. And the minute the lights are on them and that ring and the bell rings and they're and they're in the ring and they're wrestling, I'm sorry, all that crap goes out the window. Mm-hmm. Who the hell? Wait, timeout. Shut that off. Who's calling you right now? Nobody's calling you.
Getting texts, man. Busy contacts. Man. Busy man. No.
You're pretending your contacts are calling with your scoops and nobody gives a crap about.
I will mute that for now.
I'm just joking. But do you know what I mean by that? Like for the Wyatt, it's like they started off great.
Yeah.
I loved how they were being built. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, my question always was, okay, it's a great question. My trainer, Jim Cornette, Danny Davis, and an old school trainer, Rip Rogers, used to ask us, what happens when the bell rings?
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Yeah.
And so that's always a question with this Wyatt Six was, what happens when, ding, ding, the bell rings? How do you portray that gimmick? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so tough, right? It just does. It makes it very difficult every one of us, guys, if you want to admit it or not, I was one of them. We all wanted to come along on the journey, especially for Bo Dallas. All of us did. He lost his flipping brother. We all wanted to be a fan of it. We all wanted to support it. We all wanted to overrate it to help him because he's an intensively great wrestler.
Yeah.
He's actually more talented in the ring, if I'm being honest with you, than his brother. He just is. Naturally, without question, he is. If you watch his stuff in FCW, you'll see it with your own eyes. I swear to God on that.
Yeah, I think now. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, I was just saying with where they are now, I think they really do need to pivot and kind of make Bo the focus. Let the other guys be in tag teams and doing their thing, but have Bo doing more singles matches, picking up wins, you know, rising up the card. Because
how do you get rid of all of them, bro? You get rid of your girl. You get rid of your big redhead guy with a beard, and the rest of these gimmicks. How do you get rid of that?
I think you do it like you did with the Wyatts, right? You have, you know, Harper and Rowan kind of doing their thing as a tag team, break, but they're still together.
They have many more people than that. They got like five people.
I know. They should probably drop a couple, to be honest.
It's tough to pull off, bro. It just is the spooky crap. It's hard to pull off.
Yeah.
And somebody's supposed to get over as a baby of his at the end of the day. It should be Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
I wish it just went like, hey, my brother passed away. Y'all are huge fans of his. I'm going to wrestle every single minute of my life in his honor. Mm-hmm. At one point, people thought I would be the better one than him. That's laughable, obviously. Yeah. And while he was way more smarter in how he tried to portray his characters, guys, at the end of the day, I'm a blue-collar professional wrestler. I'm going to earn your cheers every single flipping week. If you don't like it, you're going to cheer me moving forward. That's okay. But I'm going to continue every single thing I do in my brother's honor. And I hope you'll be there with me for this journey.
Yeah.
It's a little too cheesy, baby face, if I'm being honest. But I do think the WWE Universe would appreciate it, especially off the heels when we lost Bray Wyatt. That affected a lot of our fans' psyche. They just did. He was a very huge hit with everybody.
Yeah.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one, with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And hopefully they do keep focused, because they did do that video package with Bowden Knight. So hopefully they do kind of, I mean, they do have this this faction versus faction thing now with Karrion Kross and his guys and the Miz versus the Wyatt. So hopefully once that plays out, they elevate Bo even more.
Do you dare to give me my insider spoiler of a certain somebody in that conversation you just said?
Sure, go ahead.
I can't do that. I cannot. I promise I'm away. But folks, a certain talent that you're dying for him to do something will be happening. I promise in the next few months. I swear to God. You're like, oh my God, that's what Morgan meant. Let's leave it at that.
All right. Bigfoot Sneakerhead, a longtime friend of our podcast.
BFS.
499 Super Chat. Hey guys, turned the big 40 this past Monday.
That's it.
Hey, we're all in our 40s. We're all the same age.
Bro, I'm like 10 years older, but there you go.
I don't think Seth will be the fifth guy. I believe it will be Brock Lesnar. CM Punk would be too obvious. Brock Lesnar's got, you know, I don't think until the Vince thing is settled or dropped, I don't see Brock being brought back.
So, Roz, what happens if they, if it's on Netflix and they say, hey, listen, we're all urine fans. We don't care. We're acquiring Brock Lesnar tour. Like, how could you possibly spin it, right? There's no way to spin it. But there has to be a way in BFS's mind here to get Brock Lesnar to the dance. I don't know how that happens, honestly. I just don't.
Yeah.
But, wow, what a monstrous addition that would be. Like, it would be too overpowering, actually, BFS. It would. I don't want Seth there either, though, if I'm being honest. I don't give a crap if Seth is on the team, if he's on our team or not. I just don't. I was kind of hoping they would find a family relative to step up out of obscurity and become a huge star out of it. I still love that too.
So this kind of goes to the next segment, but real quick, at the end of SmackDown, you had Roman trying to reach Paul Heyman, whose phone number was no longer in service. So could it be CM Punk? I mean, they're teasing him coming back with that backstage segment with Gunther Ludwig Kaiser. He's being advertised for shows in December. He's obviously coming back soon. Could Seth be a swerve and it's actually going to be CM Punk?
I don't know, my camera blurred up all of a sudden, but nonetheless.
You sound fine.
But my blurriness is annoying me because I'm part blurriness. It's super annoying. There's obviously a deeper story that's going to be told to us with why that happened, and I'm along for the journey. And folks, if you didn't see it, go back and watch SmackDown in slow motion. Before that happened, in which Sami Zayn's in the locker room with Roman in the Bloodline, and you'll notice in slow-mo that if you pay close attention and zoom in, Sammy takes his cell phone out and throws it on the couch behind himself. I think that's a very pivotal Easter egg given to us that are paying close attention to with this overall Bloodline storyline. And I'm excited to see where that will go. I think it's kind of a payoff to it. I really do. You guys should all know what I'm talking about as wrestling fans. Like I am, I'm the hugest mark on the planet, literally and physically. And I promise if I saw it, you all saw it. So go back and watch it because I think there'll be dividends paid on why Sammy did that.
And that brings us to Sarith Mohanty, who sent us a super chat earlier in the night, 899 rupees. Rollins gets taken out of the PLE and is 4-on-5 at War Games. Heyman returns during the last entrant, and brings CM Punk to join up with the OG Bloodline. And then you have Rollins doesn't liking it later, and this sets up CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I like it. I think that's a great idea. If you want to try disconnecting your cord and reconnecting it, if you want to try that, you're
okay. No.
And I think that's a great idea. And it makes sense storyline wise. It kind of ties into, it brings Paul Heyman back in the fold. You get Punk. Yeah, I think it's a cool idea.
Hey, Bubba, go Bubba. Can you hear me, Raj?
Yeah.
Good thing that my mute works. Jackson, stay right there, buddy. Good job, buddy. This mute does not work worth shit. Can I say that?
Why not? Yeah, what do you think of that idea at War Games that it's Rollins is taken out and you have Punk replacing him with Heyman bringing him out?
Oh my God, I go bonkers for that, obviously.
Yeah.
Bananas, I would go for that. Yeah. The thing is, they're not going to waste Heyman with Punk in that.
Yeah.
They're build it because Heyman did not pick up, but his phone went to an undisclosed, how do you call it?
It was just disconnected. It's no disconnected
phone number.
Yeah.
Then that's the storyline moving forward, and they have to play into that. They've got to pay dividends into that now. Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't like about that, by the way, is that Roman's so weak and like. This is Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns doesn't sweat shit. He doesn't sweat nobody. And the fact that like...
Ooh, they should be calling him.
Heyman didn't answer. Roman don't care. Normal Roman, right?
Yeah.
So like, on one hand, I appreciate how bad they're trying to build up Solo. But come on. It's just, you can't escape. It's Teemu Bloodline versus the real deal Holyfield, right? You just can't. And it's not us old heads saying it. It's just physically, you can't escape it. It's Teemu Bloodline with, oh shit, they have Jacob Fatu, by the way.
Yeah.
That should be in the real Bloodline.
I do like that they're throwing some twists and turns along the way. The 4-on-4, the story was kind of done. It was too obvious. By having this fifth member, it does kind of shake things up a bit. Do you want to try disconnecting and closing out?
Oh, that thing I just did?
No. Just closing your browser and getting back in, clicking the link again.
Sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No problem.
Take over.
And Nick Anicelli with the $4.99 Super Chat. Do we think Punk and Rollins main events night one, or could it be Cena, Gunther, or something else? I'll ask Matt this too when he's back, but I just got to say this. I do think Punk and Rollins, if it's for the world title, I could see that headlining night one. If it's not for the world title, then I don't. I just feel like, you know, some people say that Punk versus Rollins doesn't need the title, but I do think having the title on the line makes it bigger and it makes it a main event. Whereas without the title, it's just a really big match on the show, which is still, it's still huge, but yeah. So Beer Money bringing out that Heyman always had two phones. One was for Roman and one was for The Rock. And that's another thing that people are pushing, that Paul Heyman brings The Rock back. But I don't see that happening, but I guess you'll never know. I mean, you got to think Rock comes back here in the next month and a half, probably at the Netflix show. The Brainchild bringing up that Roman hasn't tried to call Paul since Mania, shaking my head. Hey, man, he was done. And Manish saying, what about Punk versus Rollins, Hell in the Cell, or Last Man Standing? There you go. Picture's back. If you're doing it at WrestleMania and you do, I don't think Last Man Standing makes it a main event, but Hell in the Cell, it can, but... I still think if there's a world title on the line, that made it. So, Matt, the question earlier was,
I see it.
Do you see Punk versus Rollins being a main event for night one at WrestleMania?
No, I do not. Unless they hit the fast forward button, I make it as the most invest in such. I don't see it coming. I could see it coming if they do what I just said.
Yeah.
Right? I could.
That's what I was saying. I said if they have Seth win the title too, like if he wins the world title and it's a world title match too, I could see that being the main event.
Yes.
So back to Raw. We had Gunther approaching Ludwig, but Kaiser backstage before during all of this. At one point, Gunther asked him, look into my eyes. What do you see? Obvious reference to Cult of Personality and CM Punk. Up next, Bron Breakker versus Sheamus.
Oh my
Sheamus.
God, I should have, I'm not, the timeout. I should have gotten that. Oh my God, Raj, how stupid am I for not getting it? Again, watch my hand, folks. Keep going.
Bron Breakker versus Sheamus for the Intercontinental title. Bron, man, he kind of kills himself in these matches. He's a big dude, and he's doing the stuff off top rope, taking the back bumps to the outside. He doesn't need to. He's obviously trying to make an impression, but damn.
It was no disrespect to my boy Sheamus. I love Sheamus. I do, because he's a fellow big man, but his time is up. And so when I see him pushing these talents to the brink, it's not in a good way like Bret Hart used to do, or other like really skilled super in-ring talents used to do back in the day, Mr. Perfect or Hennig, etc. To try Chris Benoit, no, I can't say that word, Dean Malenko, and folks that were in-ring wizards to try to get a certain talent over as a good wrestler, right, in-ring-wise, used to do. I think Sheamus, I love him to death. I love how he's got himself in amazing shape for his age. But, like, no, dude. Nobody's buying you're going to beat this guy at this stage in your career with respect, with mad respect. And our guy should not be wasting his time on this. I would have rather seen a promo and promo growth from him instead of this entire bleeping match, if I'm being honest.
The match itself was super physical. And Sheamus, I mean, that's his thing. His matches are always really physical. They're usually really good, but no one really, I think people see him at a certain level now.
They don't remember it 2 weeks later, respectfully. Yeah. They do not remember it 2 weeks later. They remember promos, however, and I wish they would have given this guy the mic to continue to help him increase his promo skills and making people want to see him get his ass kicked and pay good money to see this bully get his ass kicked, because that's where the money is, and they're missing it because they put him against another bully. Sheamus, for decades, was a bully. Dumb. Super dumb.
So at the end, Braun went for a sprinting spear outside the ring, and then Ludwig Kaiser came in, nailed him with the clothesline for the DQ. So it looks like they're going to do Braun Breaker versus Ludwig Kaiser versus Sheamus, probably in a triple threat at Saturday night's main event.
Okay. And to be fair, technically, wrestling nerds-wise, it will be a great wrestling match. It will be. However, what's his name? Ludwig what?
Kaiser.
I like his look, and he's very good in the ring. I'm not being disrespectful, not remembering his name. I'm not trying to be on purpose. I swear to God, I'm not. But it proves my point that this company's not done a good enough job of building him up as a credible opponent. And you're going to throw Sheamus in there. Oh, he's one of our veterans. And if he can get past him, he's the real deal. No, you idiots. You already put the Intercontinental Championship on this guy. So you've already told us he's the next big thing. You can't take it back now. So why are we playing in the small puddles with these two talents that he's going to obviously win against? There's absolutely zero doubt in our minds on who's going to win this. None. Zero. So why even go down this road? Give him a semi-main event talent for him to fucking maul. Excuse my French.
Backstage, you had Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, and Sami Zayn approaching Seth Rollins, asking him to join their team. Rollins said he would stand side by side with Jey, Jimmy, and Sami, but never with Roman, and it wasn't worth Roman being on top again. So he said, I'm out.
It's so stupid, Raj. It's so dumb. I'm annoyed that they keep asking him. Like, he's the end-all, be-all to come to. Like, hey, he's our Hulk Hogan. We need him. You've asked him multiple times now. Stop. You look like beggars. Y'all are the main event. Not anybody else. You got to act that way.
It does make him look a little...
beggy?
A little weak. Because they also did they were asking LA Knight as well. But not only begging, but getting turned down constantly.
Yes! and listen, you can say, well, Matt, it makes sense. Why would Seth ever trust Roman?
Yeah.
You know, after that, well, hello, no offense. Why should Roman trust Seth? Seth is the idiot that completely broke up the entire group that was, formulated with Roman and Moxley and him. So, like, no. Seth, you don't get to get on your moral high ground here, bro. You're the one that completely kiboshed your trio that could have ran ransacked through the entire WWE for like probably two decades at least. So no, I don't buy it. I don't like it. And I don't like them begging him. I don't like the Usos begging him, because I still want Jey Uso, when this is done, to be considered main event Jey Uso on his own right, because he's proven it. He has in promos, individual matches. He's proven it. He deserves to be a main event act. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Jimmy get lifted, right? But the overall angle, they should not be begging anybody. The company should be begging them. Hey, this cat, we might not have liked him in Roman. He was our champion for 3+ years. And this clown is coming in here to ruin our company. Listen, we might not always agree with Roman, but look, we're going to throw down with you. We got your back. We're on your side, blah, blah, blah. Whoever the freak that is. That's how you write that. You don't do it with them begging and pleading like that, because it brings main event, Jey Uso down. Mm-hmm. It brings Jimmy, who you just reintroduced, down. And it brings Sammy, who everybody loves, down. Begging and pleading to get people to please be my partner. Please be my partner. Oh my God, please. Even though Roman was a jerk to you. That's dumb. Super stupid. Sorry, yeah. Being honest. No,
up next, we had the War Raiders defeating Carlito and Dominic Mysterio. You know, since Judgment Day lost Damian Priest, and they have Carlito and JD McDonagh, I just feel like they feel like almost like a jobber group.
Yes, because they are.
They need someone. They need to either drop Carlito or JD and add someone with credibility.
It ain't Carlito. It's JD. With respect, because Carlito couldn't talk anybody through a promo. JD can't. With respect, he can't. He's not there yet.
Yeah, and they need to add someone that adds some, I don't know, Braun Strowman. I mean, some, I don't know who, but, you know, just someone that can help fill the void that Damian Priest
left. I don't care about the entire storyline, if I'm being real.
Yeah. And so afterwards, Balor and McDonagh attacked Eric and Ivar. And
Oh my God. My two favorite tag team. Wait. No, they're not.
Yeah. Then we had the Bo Dallas. He had the VHS tape for The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the New Day segment. It seems like we're getting closer and closer to the split.
I like that. I do like that storyline. But keep going.
Do you think Big E gets involved at all?
Can he physically?
Well, you know, what I was thinking is you could do something where Big E comes to try to, like, ease the tensions. And then, you know, Xavier turns on both. Or you do a swerve and you have Kofi turn on both.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Do we know what Big E can take and do physically? Do we know?
No.
Okay, I think that's good. So let's pretend, just work with me, that Big E is going to tell the public he can never wrestle again, ever. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's pretend that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And the real secret between him and his boys is, look, I can't wrestle again, but I can take a bump. I could take one bump. You guys got to take great care of my neck, okay, and my back. And they pile drive him or something like that. That could be a really, really good storyline. If it's my boy Creed, it has to be Creed, because he has a heel in him that you all don't know about. I know him personally. He's a heel waiting to happen because he's so damn good at. He could be a great dick if he wants to be.
Yeah.
And I hope it's him. Let's pretend he pile drives Big E. After WWE makes a very big announcement, this guy could never ever wrestle again. Forget falling on his back, falling on his neck ever again, because it could possibly permanently, you know, make it cripple forever. It can make him in a wheelchair forever. It could potentially end his life even.
Yeah.
If they build it to that effect and you have him pile drive him, oh my God.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're so safe now. Like Rob Van Dam has hinted that he was supposed to do more on that ECW episode of NXT, but
his age and his talent at this level, I love Rob to death.
Yeah.
there's a big difference because we just saw Pile Driver given on WWE television last week, Raj.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is, what if he did something like, remember when Roman had to vacate the title because his cancer came back, and he hugged, you know, Moxley and Rollins, and then at the end of the show, Moxley turned on Rollins. So you have Big E bring them back together, and then like later at the end of the show, then you, you do the turn when Big E's not around.
I would do it using him, especially if he can take, if he can take it, if he physically can take it, don't do it, obviously.
Yeah.
But it could add a whole lot of luster to the heat, especially for Xavier Woods, who I will argue would need it. He's I'm telling you, folks, he has a heel side that y'all haven't seen. Because happy-go-lucky Xavier Woods, you've seen him, how he's booking WWE television. This guy, I promise you, as his friend, could be the world's biggest dick. And you'll hate him.
And we've seen little glimpses. Yeah.
They're missing the boat on it, if I'm being honest. He's that good.
I think Kofi would be too hard to be a heel. It's got to be.
No. It can't be.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
I promise you, it has to be. It has to be Creed. It just does, because he can back it up with the mic next week in his mouth. I promise you, he can.
Yeah,
he's so good.
Yeah, it's finally in the main event: Bronson Reed versus Seth Rollins. The new bloodline without Solo showed up at ringside as soon as the match started, and the Usos and Sami Zayn came out to Jay's music to take them out. So Rollins and Reed, another hell of a match. They were going back and forth. Towards the end, Rollins hit a curb stomp, didn't go for the cover, and he went for another super stomp, which was the move that he beat Reed with at Crown Jewel. But he stopped because he saw Solo Sikoa standing on the announcer's desk. And then Reed hit Rollins with the DDT, a bunch of sentons, and then finally with the tsunami to get the win.
I loved it. I love the finish of it. I do.
Yeah.
I love booking heat. I love heels getting their heat more than anything. Because that's always going to make people pay money to come see them get unseated eventually, right? Like, so I'll always be a fan of it. And I love how they booked Bronson Reed here. I love how they're booking him overall. I love that he's the newest member of the quote unquote Timu bloodline. I do.
Yeah.
And no problem with it. I love it.
Yeah. And so that was the end of the show. So Lusakoa raised Bronson Reed's hand as the show ended. They're heavily storyline wise, just looking at it, you would assume Seth Rollins is going to be on the babyface team. But it'd be great if they pulled a swerve. I think CM Punk would be a cool swerve.
I would love to see him Punk be it, but like, you got to waste the Paul Heyman aspect, though, right? You got to fast forward what happened with Paul Heyman to be involved to make that happen, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. I still want, if I'm being honest, I still want the Roman versus CM Punk match in storyline left for a year from now. If that's what I have to wait for, I don't care. I'll wait.
And you could do some spike because, you know, Punk and Heyman have always had that relationship. And now, you know, Heyman and Roman. There's so many ways you could play into it. And even if you did Survivor Series where Punk was on their team, you could do those spots where they accidentally hit each other. You know, they're getting in each other's faces.
You can make a bigger match, but match potential in the future, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd buy that.
Yeah.
But you got to press the fast forward button to somehow make that happen. Because the fact that Heyman did not pick up for Roman, we're supposed to come along on the journey storyline. And I'm there for it. I am there for it of why that happened and why they're out of touch. I'm guessing Paul's going to be pissy that, dude, you let this new bloodline beat my ass. I put it through a table. Where the F were you?
Yeah.
So-called tribal chief. And we got to tell that story. And I'm there. I have the patience for it. I'm there for it.
Yeah. So that was Raw. And that's about it for this week. A real quick note. We got AEW Full Gear coming up. They've been doing really small crowds lately. And apparently they will, according to Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer, they're going to start doing smaller arenas next year. The reason they haven't been is because their set, there was something with the set, the rig, the lighting rig or something, that they couldn't move into smaller arenas. So now they're adjusting it.
Well, hopefully it helps them. Because we should all want their success. Why, guys, I'm just going to remind you, it's easy to pick apart AEW. It became a sport somehow after they were like the big game in town that we were all happy about that was going to change pro wrestling. And they did, if we're being honest about wrestlers' contracts and cutting edge wrestling and futuristic wrestling. We all, me included, were a part of that and excited for it when they first came along. But that ship has sailed. And now it's become a sport to pick on Tony Khan, AEW wrestling storylines, and their attendance. But we should all be rooting for it to be massively successful. So our favorite WWE superstars that, for whatever reason, doesn't work out there, have another place to go. I know I would have wanted that place to go secondarily if it didn't work for me in WWE or TNA, etc. So I try not to lose sight of that because we should all be rooting for the success of overall pro wrestling.
Absolutely. And that's it for tonight. Glenn Rubenstein, he was a little under the weather, but he will be back tomorrow night with Matt, and they will be doing the NXT review. And we will join you here again next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Thank you.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one, with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.